gentlemen,
The Rich Eisen Show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Ron Rivera today asks, why not Lamar?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Just something that we just didn't feel suited what we wanted to do.
Look, I don't get it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I don't get it.
Earlier on the show, Raiders wide receiver Jacoby Myers. WWE superstar Cody Rhodes. Still to come from Netflix's Murder Mystery 2, actor Mark Strong. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Cody Rhodes, WWE superstar, has just left our building. He's heading towards SoFi for WrestleMania on Saturday and Sunday night. Obviously, he's the main event on Sunday night against Roman Reigns. Great chat with him. Jacoby Myers of the Las Vegas Raiders. Nice chat with him in hour number one. I just had a very nice brief chat in the green room with our third hour guest. The actor Mark Strong is here. We chatted with him, I believe, late last year when he was calling in from London. And now he's here in person, here in Los Angeles, and I couldn't be more appreciative, not only because he's taken his time out of his day to promote Murder Mystery 2 on Netflix with him and Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston to come here, but it's, I believe, has it stopped raining? Anybody who comes here in the rain deserves a Rich Eisen Show mug. That's all. That's for sure.
Yes.
Okay. Has it stopped raining?
Yeah, it stopped.
Because when it rains here in Los Angeles, yep. But he's from London, so he must be used to.
Fog and rain makes him feel at home.
Right.
I felt like I lived in Seattle driving to work today. Like
it's Southern Seattle now.
Is that where we're in right now?
You know, Southern California.
You know, we should do an entire Rich Eisen Show. All 3 hours of us bitching about the weather.
Exactly.
How do you think people would like that? You think the Roku channel would say, we have a few notes?
Yeah, I don't think people.
And they never give notes.
People can relate, though.
Which is what?
Relate that, though. Sometimes
people living
in
the Midwest hearing us complain about the rain will be just like GTFOH.
That fast.
And you can look it up. Come on. That's the way I would look at it. But at any rate, we're here on the program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Before we get to Chris Brockman's news update, let's take this phone call. Lonnie in Los Angeles. Been hanging out for a while. One of our favorites. How you been, Lonnie?
Lonnie Love.
How you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, man, I need you to do me a favor.
Okay.
I need the Fab Five in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
You and me both. Well, isn't Weber already in there? Isn't C-Web there?
As a group, as a unit. Lonnie, as a group?
I want them as a group. I want the Fab Five group in the Basketball Hall of Fame because of what they've done.
Yep.
What they meant to the culture, how they changed everything. Now, Michael Jordan had, the longer shorts, but the Fab Five took everything to a new level.
I don't know if you heard the conversation we had with Brian Dutcher, the head coach of San Diego State, from yesterday's show.
Yeah, I heard some of that.
Where he said he's the one who actually first ordered the long shorts for them.
Mind blown.
And that when they came back, they were 2 inches longer than most, and he said he wanted it 2 inches longer than even that. Love that. It was great. Just great stuff. But I don't know. I mean, can you put in a group? Because I don't think anyone else is getting in based on their own personal merits. I mean,
maybe, man. Like, make it like, WWE in their Hall of Fame. They'll put, like, the Four Horsemen. They'll put the NWO.
Show the power of Rich Eisen. Yeah. Make this thing happen.
I'm on it, Lonnie. Thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate it. That's Lonnie in Los Angeles.
I like that idea.
Good idea.
Because as Brockman said, the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, they let people in who had success outside of the NBA. It's not just an NBA.
Right, it's international, it's college. NBA, it's all encompassing. So, if you want to acknowledge what they meant to the culture, to the movement of college basketball, like what they meant for everybody.
Can you have an exhibit?
Ooh.
Based on it?
The rapper?
No.
The rapper.
Next to the Z. Oh. Sure. Why not?
What would be in the Fab Five exhibit? Long shorts.
Black socks, baggy shorts.
Yeah.
T-shirts with the plain dark blue T-shirts. Mm-hmm.
The gold uniforms. The maize uniforms. Maize. No disrespect.
The ones from the 93.
I'm glad you self-corrected.
Well, I knew you would have had I not. So.
Gold.
Gold.
The maize.
They're gold.
But like this is a commercial on Fox News.
They're gold.
Selling gold.
Gold is Notre Dame.
Maize.
I wouldn't even know what that is because I don't watch that channel, but...
All right.
But yeah,
so what else would be in there? Don't be facetious.
Black shoes.
Black socks.
Right.
Oh, you want me to say like a timeout or
no,
something?
No, I don't want to say. No, I don't want you to say that. Oh, wow. That was my subtle way of saying don't say it. And
I
then
wasn't
you
even
said
thinking it.
It
until you put it in my head. See?
Okay. So you're being legit because you actually love the Fab Five.
I do. That 93 title game, like I said, I've watched it a million times. I had a Michigan jersey from back in the day that I had C-Webb sign when he was here.
I saw him do it.
Mm.
I seen him.
The Barclays, because the 93 Air Max that year were Barclays that they wore.
The black with the strap.
Oh man.
They were. I love those shoes. And like we said yesterday, the black ankle socks that said Nike on the front.
They all had shaved heads except for Juwan had a flat top.
Well, he also said, Dutcher, that the black socks came from a trip to the
mall
in Houston. The Galleria in Houston, which is, by the way, where Brian Dutcher's going to hopefully cut down a net for San Diego State.
You want to talk about full circle.
They have an ice skating rink in the basement of that mall.
They do?
Well, anyway, so that's what you put in the... Okay, so hey, folks of Springfield, Massachusetts, Fab Five exhibit, let's go.
I'm with it, man.
All right, well done.
I actually think those uniforms
Lonnie in Los Angeles
should be in the Smithsonian.
They're cool uniforms.
All right, let's get to it. It's the NBC News Emeritus. It always blows me away that Tom Brokaw takes time out of his busy day to... front Chris Brockman's news update.
We're Emmy nominated here.
Mark Strong, the actor, is about to come out here, but first, Chris Brockman's news update.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Since when does Tom Brokaw sound like Dr. Spichemin from 30 Rock?
he does a lot of talking and, you know.
What else you got over? What do you got, Chris? What do you got?
Thanks.
Go for it.
Thanks, Tom. Hey, well, we've been talking about Lamar Jackson a lot, Meek Mills, telling Bob Kraft stuff. That's truly one of the greatest headlines I've ever seen. But according to The Athletic's Jeff Howe, the Patriots are not in on Lamar Jackson. They're not in.
This just in. They're not going to.
So,
come on, man.
I mean, it would be fun if they did.
That's why I put the Patriots on the list of teams that would blow our minds if they were in on Lamar Jackson. As we were talking about Lamar Jackson's market, the minute he was able to start talking to other teams to sign him to an offer sheet, Cowboys, Cardinals, Vikings, Packers, Bears, Lions, Patriots, Steelers. I would blow everyone's mind. If they're like, you know what? We are done with Mac Jones. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take our next two first-round draft choices and send it to one of the teams that really does not like us and the feeling's mutual. Let's help them out of their problem by taking their guy, blowing up our salary cap plans that we've... Could you imagine they pay him more money guaranteed than perhaps they paid Tom Brady during his first half of his career that they'd give that on a contract in 4 years? Like, could you, whatever guaranteed he signed for, how long did it take for Brady to get $200 million out of the Patriots? You'd have to add up a lot of years. It's just so out of their character. And like I said earlier, like, if you want them to do it, if you want them to consider it, if you want to do that, you got to put your best foot forward to start. And I don't think sending Meek Mill to Robert Kraft to tell Bill Belichick, hey, let's start a conversation, that's the best way to do it. I honestly don't think that's the best way to tell Bill I mean business.
In 20 years with the Pats, Tom Brady made $235 million.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
So... That's what we call out of character.
And in three seasons with the Bucs.
Sending John Bon Jovi to Belichick might be the best, you know, if you had to choose anybody from the music world to get Bill's attention.
Well, Kraft and Meek are tight, so, you know.
What else you got over there, Chris?
We're living on a prayer with this Lamar news.
You're halfway there.
We're good to you.
The Falcons have had a busy offseason, and one of the teams that probably should make a move for Lamar. But Calais Campbell's heading to town. Ravens.
Year 16, Atlanta.
Former Ravens. D tackle, 1 year deal. Also, the Falcons added Scotty Miller, another wide receiver.
And again, yesterday the news involving Atlanta involved Arthur Blank saying that it's a very different situation between the Lamar Jackson franchise tag conversation and Deshaun Watson from last year, when you know the Falcons were way in on them. Different player, different time. You have a winner in Jackson, an MVP in the league. There's no question he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. But looking at it objectively, I'd say that there's some concern over how long he can play his style of game. Hopefully a long time, but he's missed 5-6 games each of the last 2 years. Each game counts a lot in our business. I mean, Watson also, as you know, had knee problems in college. But, man, look, let's just point it out here. The difference is if Lamar wants the amount of money that Watson got, there was at some point in time when, I'll use the phrase, it might be spoiler alert, he was the Logan Roy going to 8, and the Cleveland Browns came in like the Roy kids and say, we'll go to 10. And they win the negotiation. Over. And they were not interested in going as high as the Browns did. Nobody is in the league.
Nobody.
So that's the different situation. Obviously, the other difference is the guy who got that money has all of these off-the-field issues hanging over his head at the time. So they just don't want to pay him all that cash. That's it. And they've done. They've moved on. They had that. There was this moment in time they're willing to give all the draft choices and all that money to a quarterback with a far different story off the field than Lamar Jackson, who's pristine and sterling with his reputation in that regard. You know, so the difference is they've moved on. They don't want to blow up their current plans for that. And they weren't interested in giving Watson all that money that the Browns did. What else, Chris?
Brandon Staley said this week that the Chargers have entered extension negotiations with Justin Herbert.
What a surprise. Okay. I'm
pretty blown away.
All right, very good.
Also, Kyle Shanahan added Trey Lance and Sam Darnold will split first team reps.
This
49ers offseason. Split.
Well, there's the competition. When we were sitting there at the Super Bowl and Trey Lance said, I don't want anything handed to me. I am up for competition. I want the competition. At the time, we thought it would just be Brock Purdy coming back from his impending elbow surgery. Instead, it's Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold's going to win a playoff game for the Niners this year.
That's a hot take. Sam Darnold's winning a playoff game for the Niners, or Draymond Green's going to win a title with somebody else before his career's over. Which one would you take, TJ?
Ooh, that's nice. Hold on.
Wow.
Which one would you take?
I'd probably take Draymond.
Yeah, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Suddenly my crazy ass take from hour two is not so crazy anymore.
All right, hold on.
Sam Darnold wins a playoff game for the Niners this year, or Draymond wins a ring with somebody other than the Warriors before he winds up in the Hall of Fame. Which one would you take?
I mean, look, if you have the same Niners team and there's another Brock Purdy situation,
this is not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire where you sound out your answer. Which one would you take?
I'd probably say Draymond would go to a spot where he would feel good about winning a championship.
Okay, thank you. Not feel good, but he does it. He does it. Okay, Chris?
This is great.
Okay.
I'm tweeting it out. A couple other things, guys. Dennis Allen said that Michael Thomas's toe is still not 100%.
Oh, my gosh.
That's kind of troubling heading into the offseason.
Toes are no joke. That's what caused Deion to retire.
He'd be hobbling
around right now. Yes, correct.
And then did you see one of the big rules proposals that got actually passed? Teams can now have players wear number 0.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley immediately said he's going to wear number 0 this year for Jacksonville. TJ, did you see who said that he might wear number 0 this year?
The Lions.
Micah Parsons tweeted out, I'm switching.
Agent zero coming soon. Yes. Yes. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? Top 5 players that should wear number 0.
I like it.
Oh, I like that.
Great idea.
I'll work on that tonight. I'll cultivate that caper like Maury the Wig Man in the Lufthansa heist. How's that for good?
Just don't end up like Maury, please, Rich.
I want my list now.
Nice.
And save that pop culture item that I know you have for after Mark Strong.
I do.
Because he's kind enough to come in the rain, and I don't want to be here late for him. You got one more thing?
Just a quick baseball thing with opening day tomorrow. Spring training now officially closed. Pitch clock was a massive success. shaved 26 minutes off spring training games this year compared to last year. Average game time last year in spring training, 3 hours, 1 minute. This year, 2 hours, 35 minutes.
Wow, yeah. That's great.
Love it.
Love it. Turn it off in the ninth inning.
Agreed.
So we'll see.
Let's move it. Move it along to the eighth inning. Ninth inning. Let's take our time.
We'll see how opening day goes tomorrow.
Seems like commissioner made it seem like that would be the case.
Well, he made it seem like they're not set in stone, that umpires have discretion.
He also made it seem like we could show clips all year. So,
well, we could show one commercial. I don't think we got the full on that we could get whatever we want to do.
Don't get what you don't ask for, Rich Eisen.
Exactly. Ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
I appreciate that. Oh, yeah. Opening day, huh?
Opening day tomorrow, full slate.
Oh, gosh. Coop's out of town, and we got to draft our fantasy league.
Oh, I had mine last night.
You did?
I did.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Mark Strong is here. Murder Mystery 2 available for streaming this Friday on Netflix. We chatted with him on the phone from across the pond. He's here, nice. Across the desk in a moment. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
It's WrestleMania season, and the Podcast Heat Network has you covered.
Woo! Podcast Heat has shows featuring many of your favorite wrestlers and personalities leading up to the Showcase of the Immortals.
And talking about the results afterwards.
And now it's not just WrestleMania being a day, it's a week. I don't know if there's anything quite like it in another form of entertainment.
There's not.
Get into the WrestleMania spirit with the Podcast Heat Network.
Woo!
Wherever you listen.
Our terrestrial radio audience is back here. We just saw a clip of Murder Mystery 2 that you can catch on Netflix, which, by the way, is available right here on Roku. Coming up on Friday, it is Murder Mystery 2, Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, and you, Mark Strong, who are kind enough to come here. We spoke on the phone just a few months ago, and now here you are.
It was actually a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
we worked out. It was 2020. I had a show called Temple.
That's right.
And you were kind enough to kind of let me come on and have a chat about it.
Yeah.
But that's how time flies.
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was... Wow. You didn't correct the record over there.
I thought it was a few months ago
You're the official record corrector of the Rich Eisen Show, Chris.
I'll double check.
Well, I mean, and it's just great to, you know, see you here. And last night was the premiere.
Yes.
Correct, right?
Yeah.
And Sandler and Aniston and you getting back together. You shot this in Paris?
During COVID, I've really enjoyed being at home with the family. I've got two teenage boys, and I realize how much I miss kind of just being around them. So I said to my agent, you know, if jobs come up, I don't want to travel too much. I'd like to be in London if possible. And she said, okay, but there's a problem. I said, what's that? She said, there's a job, but the locations might be a problem. And I said, why? She said, well, they're Hawaii and Paris. I said, let me think about that for 1 second. I can make an exception. Those I'll do. And we had the most amazing location. Hawaii was gorgeous. And Paris, I think we spent 5 weeks there. It was wonderful.
And what's it like to be on the set with Sandler? And what do you got for me on Adam Sandler?
In my business, I think any film set is kind of controlled or the flavor of it comes from above.
Yes.
And because he and Jen are such lovely people.
Yes.
It really was genuinely a kind of a love fest. Everybody got on. We had a good time, and it was fun to do.
Right, and you say Sandler does all his own stunts?
Yeah, up to a point, I think. Right. I mean, the two of us are cracking on. I mean, I'm not speaking for him, but I do know that there is one point in the movie where, or I think it happened in rehearsal, where I'm choking him at one point, and in order to get up, I levered myself off his shoulders.
Yes.
And they had to go, no, you shouldn't do that, because remember, you're tough.
Right.
You shouldn't be levering yourself anywhere. My back was aching. My knees were going.
Right. But Adam's shoulders are broad enough for you to handle all of that stuff. He just won the Mark Twain Award that aired last night. Obviously, he was at the premiere last night.
Yeah.
And he really is some really good people.
I really enjoy him. Jennifer was
as well.
She's also gorgeous, but was just telling him off for not wearing a suit.
Well, he doesn't do that.
No, I know.
No, he doesn't.
Although he did apparently when he collected the Mark Twain, he was in a suit.
Oh, well, I
he
guess
he said
for
looking
that.
Very uncomfortable.
So, what was he in the sweats last night? Is
yeah.
that what he did?
Yeah.
That's it, right? That's what you want to do in life.
That's the goal.
Make a movie with Jennifer Aniston and Mark Strong, put it on Netflix, and just wear your sweats whenever you want. Okay, so if I recall in our conversation, you were a fan of Arsenal, correct?
Yes, yeah.
All right. Now, what is the genesis of this? Are you from the area, the neighborhood? Or,
yeah, okay. I was born in Islington in North London, which is where basically you could grow up with it. Red and white, the Arsenal colors.
Yes.
And I started going to games when I was about 7. I now have a season ticket, and I go with friends when I can, when I'm not filming. And we're doing incredibly well this season.
Well, you're in first place, right?
Yeah,
now.
We're 8 points clear of City. Uh-huh. Have all the money and all the players, so we've just got to hang on for 10 more games.
Well, now, Arsenal is owned by an insanely rich individual whose team won the Super Bowl 2 years ago and has a team that can win the NBA championship this year in Stan Kroenke. So how does... I don't understand. How is this man outspent?
Well, what we're hoping is that having done the won the the Super Bowl,
yes,
and the team doing very well, he's going to now just pay a little attention to the little soccer team in the UK that need a bit of help just to get over the line.
I don't know if I told this story the last time that you were on, Mark, but a couple of years ago, the NFL held a game. Well, they've done it in multiple years, but the first time they held an NFL game in Tottenham Stadium was when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the home team, and they wear red.
Right.
So there was red all around Tottenham Stadium, and all I heard all week was from Arsenal fans who loved that their colors were dominating the stadium in Tottenham. That they just they found that funny.
You know where that rivalry comes from?
Because
Arsenal were originally a South London team.
Mm-hmm.
It was Woolwich Arsenal, which is it was a team made up of the guys that worked in the munitions factory down in South London.
Yes.
In the 30s, the team was moved to North London, which traditionally was Tottenham's territory.
Yes.
Because Tottenham is just east of Arsenal, but they're both North London teams.
Mm-hmm.
So they were furious about that. And that's where it actually comes from. And I think in the season that we were promoted, they were relegated. And there was some skullduggery that went on. I don't
Good
quite
use
know.
Of skullduggery, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a rare word that's dropped here on the Rich Eisen Show. Normally, it's a two-syllable word, other than it's lost on many people. But I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead.
Well, no, just that whenever we win,
yes.
if we beat them, the expression is North London is red.
Right.
So they would have hated it. So the stadium had red all over.
What would a championship for Arsenal mean for you? Like, how would you say?
Well, it'd be the first time, I think, in 20 years that we'll win the league.
Mm-hmm.
We've been a good FA Cup team. We've seen money come into the game. You know, Chelsea and City are very, very powerful, rich backers. And they basically, I think David Dean, who used to run Arsenal, said that Roman Abramovich parked his tanks and was firing £50 notes at us.
That's a good line. I like that.
Yeah, so we just need to, if we could do that, it would be wonderful.
Okay. We've got Mark Strong here on the Rich Eisen Show, Murder Mystery 2, available on Netflix on Friday, March 31st, right here on the program. We have a game we like to play called Celebrity True or False, certainly with our celebrity friends who show up here in studio, where we read a couple things about your career on the internet and we're wondering if it's true or not.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. We have actually terrific production value to go along with it. Here it is.
Celebrity true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. All right, Mark Strong, long before your career, and again, the movies that you're in, just awesome. Syriana, Sherlock Holmes, Zero Dark Thirty is amazing. The Imitation Game, and so on and so forth. But long before you were in college, true or false, you sang in not one but two punk rock bands. Is that true or false?
That's very true, yeah. I'm a child of the 70s. I was a teenager around about the time punk arrived, and it was just so much more dangerous and interesting than anything else that was in the charts at the time.
Okay. And so do you recall the names of your punk
rock
band?
I think we used to enjoy making up lots of different names. I remember the first band, I think we finally ended up with something like Toxoid, I think was the name of
Toxoid?
The band. Toxoid? Toxoid. We literally looked it up in a dictionary. It related to poison. We thought that would do.
Okay.
And the second one was, we hadn't really thought it through. We called the band Private Party. The idea being that people would think it was a private party and wouldn't turn up. And we hadn't really thought that one.
Yeah. So your band assumed your fan base was non-existent?
Hmm. We were 14. You know,
well, this
yeah, this is like we were at school.
So this was not in college. You're talking about
boarding
school. No,
this was an ad appeared in the music magazine in the UK, and literally it was a picture of three guitar chords, and it said underneath this, here's three chords, go out and form a band.
Yes.
And I was at boarding school. I was at a state boarding school at the time. We literally did that. I said, okay, you go buy a bass this weekend, you get a snare drum, you know, you get a microphone, and we just put it together, made some noise.
Were you a front man? Were you the front man?
I played bass and sang.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you played bass. So you're the McCartney.
I was, cross between McCartney and a little bit of John Lennon.
Well, I mean, the bass and singing.
Yes.
That's it, right there.
Yeah. Okay. But we had a lead singer as well. I suppose I was backing vocals.
Okay. All right. You're too nice, man. You should definitely say, yeah, I was the McCartney of Private Party. Like, that's the way you should go. All right. Next one for you. And just, this is where it comes from. A position of respect and love. All you got to do is look at my friend Chris Brockman and look at me.
Yes.
True or false, Mark Strong, you lost your hair in your mid-20s. Yes. Is that true?
Yes, I did. I felt very comfortable coming into a room with a lot of sensible haircuts. Yeah.
We call it the Bald Brotherhood.
Right.
Bald Brotherhood.
I was working at the National Theatre at the time, and I don't know if you've been to London much, but the National Theatre is the other side of Waterloo Bridge.
Okay.
It's a very windy bridge.
All right.
And the day I walked across and my hair blew up like this, and I realised I was actually trying to hide, and it just...
Did the come-over thing go on?
Yeah, a little bit. Not badly, but enough that when it blew on the bridge and I was walking to work at the National, I went, okay, that's enough.
And so if you let it grow, what would we have? A horseshoe? What would we have going on?
I would have this at the side.
That's it?
I'd have a,
You're the same thing, too.
Same thing.
I'm holding on. Like, whenever I get sitting in, like, a makeup chair or whatever for another shoot, not here, somebody might, like, say, hey, there's a couple of hairs right here. Do you mind if I clip? I say, leave them.
Yeah.
They are fighting
exactly.
A significant battle still to this day.
Yeah.
I will not personally cut them down. I will not do that.
Well, the tragedy, of course, is that my ears and my nose and my eyebrows are doing really well.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
It is.
It's the weirdest thing.
All right. So it requires a lot of maintenance on your part, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mark Strong had no idea he'd be talking about his hair on the Rich Eisen show, and he came all the way down here in the rain. All right. Last one for you. True or false, Mark Strong. Daniel Craig is a former roommate of yours and is a godfather to one of your sons.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. We did a show together in the mid-90s called Our Friends in the North in the UK. It was a very successful TV show.
Yes.
And we became friends, and we shared a flat. And we lived together for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kept in touch ever since. And, he's godfather to my eldest boy.
Okay. What was he like as a roommate?
He was very lazy.
What do you mean?
I did most of the tidying up.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't even know if he paid me rent. It was my flat. I think he still owes me. Should bring that up with him.
Wow. So Bond is a scoff? He's a scofflaw or something like that?
I wouldn't dare.
I will say that. Okay. But,
no. But he's a great guy. We had a lot of fun.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's a godfather to one of your children.
He is. And a very attentive one, too. He just bought my son a really cool jacket, you know, for his 18th birthday. And he's around. I don't see him enough because he lives in Brooklyn these days, and I'm in London.
He's in Brooklyn, huh?
Yeah.
So you're just strolling. People could be strolling around in Brooklyn, and all of a sudden you see Daniel Craig coming around.
Yeah,
That's pretty cool. You got a good Sacha Baron Cohen story? I know you guys were in the movie Grimsby together about 7-8 years ago. You got a good one?
Yeah. That a lot of them I can't repeat, but he's driven. I think my funniest story is when we left after filming, I was carrying my bags. I was really tired. I was getting towards the plane. He was just slightly ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And I literally heard him just whispering to one of the stewards, a very well-dressed, very well-presented steward. Sasha was saying, my boyfriend and I are very tired. Could you give us the best seats? Just as I walked up going, what did you say? What did you say?
What? And did you get...
And we got the best seats. Yeah. Hey. No, he knows how to work it.
Okay. And by 2016, he was in full Sacha Baron Cohen, bloom. There's no question about that.
He's great fun to work with. I mean, it's hard to keep a straight face with him. That's the problem. There's a lot of improvising, and he goes off on one, and it's just
who's the biggest badass you've ever worked with, then, Mark?
Badass in real life or character-wise?
The one that might actually combine.
Oh, my God.
How about that one?
Maybe Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta was... I did a film called Revolver with Ray Liotta.
Mm-hmm.
And he was meant to kind of menace my character, but rather than get physical with me, what he decided was he was going to wear this very, very tight pair of underpants. leave his dressing gown open, and I was sitting and he was standing.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically came way too close to me when we did the scene and just looked down at me from above, and that's how we played the scene. And I had Ray's
Leotis.
Manhood, you know, right. Way too close to my face.
A lot of Leota. Okay. And you had no idea that was the
that was his choice,
the acting maneuver he was going to employ.
But brilliant.
It worked.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it threw you off your game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't expect that one either.
Well, there you go. He was a lovely guy, though. He was also, there are no badasses, really. I mean, it's all just pretend.
Well, it's funny. You'll see in our green room, Mark, is a Goodfellas poster in our green room. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw.
Okay. When you go back there, take a look at Ray's head in the poster behind the plexiglass. You'll see it's behind a broken, sort of cracked part of the plexiglass.
Yeah, I saw
that. It's because he used an axe, the back side of an axe, when he was here on the show to try and break it open and re-sign it, because he told me, much to my surprise here, it was akin to having his robe open and seeing his Leotas, yeah. Is that he told me on the air that his autograph on that poster that I had spent a significant amount of money on at a charity auction was fake.
No.
And really, so he's like, I'll re-sign it. He wanted to open it and try to bash it with an axe to open it, and he bashed his own head on the poster, which makes it an even better story.
It does. I thought it was a bullet hole.
It could have been.
Yeah.
No, but he couldn't have been nicer. And obviously, when he passed, we were just all blown away by that.
The truly worrying part of that story is, where on earth do you find an axe?
That's a good point, too.
Right.
You know? We don't still have that axe anymore.
I don't think so.
Where did he find the axe?
It was just like in a back.
I don't know.
Somewhere.
That's a good. Really? By the way,
they're just lying around.
Follow-up, Mark. Excellent follow-up. Yeah. It does sound like a scene from Murder Mystery 2, to be very honest with you, which you can catch on Netflix coming this Friday, March 31st. It's available right here on Roku. What a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming all the way down here.
My total pleasure.
Appreciate Thank that. You. It's Mark Strong right here on the Rich Eisen Show, which we'll wrap up and tell you how we're working the rest of this week in a moment. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with the Roku Channel live stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desks furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, why don't you?
Yeah. Rich, you know, I've got God kids, and I know that my God kids think it's really cool that I'm their godfather, but man, to say that James Bond is your godfather, like Mark's son?
Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing.
That's dad points, right? Cool,
right?
Points.
Yeah. Hey, I got to step my game up.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd. I love that every single week. I don't know why I follow that Twitter account.
That Twitter still, they still post that every week?
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
Oh,
him just introducing The Weeknd as on Saturday Night Live. It's so great. I haven't seen the new Knives Out. I still haven't gotten to see it. Is it good?
Glass Onion.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's good.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
I can't even call it the new one, right, since it came out last year.
It's been out.
I might check that out.
Yeah. Ed Norton's kind of the...
Norton?
He's in it.
What was the pop culture entry you had into your...
Oh, man. So this is something that Mike had said this morning. You found an article, Del Tufo. Apparently, the late George Michael, who we all love... His big song, Careless Whisper, just passed 1 billion views on YouTube. 400,000 a day.
Today, still?
No, people were still, in 23.
Or back in the day?
No. The last, I don't know how many months. 400
million. Recently?
400, yeah.
400,000 views of Careless Whisper a day?
Yeah. So what happened is probably someone big posts it, just starts going viral. That's insane.
I don't know why.
That song was big.
I mean, of course it was.
That song was big.
A billion views.
1 billion. It's got the 1B next to it.
There's only eight or seven other in the United States.
That's crazy.
Which I think is insane.
Now, I'm going to pull off
the 80s,
the trick that I'm I have, I think a talent for, if you don't mind me saying, is making things that you don't think could be about me.
You're the best at it.
Look up the video I was in along with my friend Bill Walton.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
For Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. What's it called?
Swish, swish.
Swish, swish.
Got it.
I think the late George Michael still has some work cut out for him.
No, Rich. $672 million.
Yo.
That hasn't reached a billion yet?
No. Nope.
No. I mean, that's...
Wow. I'm humbled.
$400 million.
Shooting that video with Bill Walton is still one of the greatest.
Where's the top? Where's the window?
Dude, that was... I don't know what happened to the broken car shield. It's got to be somewhere around here.
It's in the back.
Is it in the back somewhere?
Yeah. So one thing I don't know is how did they reach out to you?
I just got a call from my agent saying, are you in town? They're looking for a sportscaster to appear in a Katy Perry music video. They want to have you in it. And my answer was, can I bring my children to the set and have them meet her? Mm-hmm. And it just didn't work out for that. She wasn't there on the day that I shot.
Okay.
So, Rich, you and Bill are on a show called Swish Center.
What? Yes.
In the video.
Yes. Yeah.
And your Chiron is Bill Walton, really tall guy. Rich Eisen, not as tall as Bill Walton.
That's correct. That's By the way, these are accurate descriptions of both of us.
That's your Chiron. Yeah.
This was in, I believe it's called the Galen Center, where USC plays basketball. I just found it funny that I was in USC's basketball home with one of the greatest UCLA players ever.
How about that?
And then there was a shot that I took. I popped on my Instagram because another person who was in this video who was there that day was the Mountain Game of Thrones. Hapthor was there. And I stood in between the two of them.
You were like,
and I don't believe I reached the belly button of either man.
Is he like a coach? I'm trying to watch this music video.
I didn't know Joey Chestnut was in this.
There's a lot going on.
Oh, there was a lot going on. Joey Chestnut. There was a lot happening.
Katy Perry also has like a blonde flat top. Like she's really short hair.
And she's got some game in this video.
Molly Shannon's in the video.
Oh yeah, I met her in makeup beforehand. You know, had one of those great quick conversations where I said, I'm a fan, and she had no idea who I was. Why? She might have been rethinking, why am I in this video?
Donnie Baseball!
With this
I
person.
I always think of Don Mattingly, Rich, every time you say that.
Oh, why? Because Don knew exactly who I was later on in life.
The first time.
The first time, not so much.
I love it.
Alan Dallas is here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you been, Al? Thanks for chiming in. Where
Albert.
You been?
Well, you know, I've been over here now. I don't know if you heard. We're a little busy right now. But
he's helping pay for Daniel Jones.
It was amazing. I was watching the Leota thing May of 2015. That's when I started watching the show.
Yeah, man. Well, that's when you were Al in Houston. And I found it funny that I kept saying the words Alan Houston on the program, like you were one of the most overpaid basketball players in the history of the New York Knicks.
Not anymore. It was the Brockman no shoes on that prompted me calling. I was so outraged. I know that there's obviously the topic of the last couple of weeks for the NFL has been Lamar Jackson, but has anybody been bringing up the fact that because I might have said this before, but because of the escrow money that's required for that type of contract,
there's
only a handful of teams that are going to dip their toe in that, and you know, like. The pilot J guy for the Browns, he's a billionaire several times over. He could cut that check for $250 million to the escrow account.
Well, I think it's a percentage. It's like something, I don't know the exact fat number.
It's a big number.
It's like 80%. You have to put in 80% of, and thanks for the call, Al. We missed chatting with you, buddy. Can you look that up so I'm completely knowledgeable about it? The NFL guaranteed money escrow. Just put those words NFL guaranteed money escrow into the old Twitter machine and what comes back. I think you have to put 80% of whatever is the guaranteed money over the life of a contract in an escrow account. And that's an ancient rule that was put in place, I think, to the benefit of the players to make sure that an owner is not like, I guarantee you the money, and then all of a sudden they're insolvent the next day, and I don't have the money for you. And I think that was put into place back in the day when it was possible for NFL owners to potentially turn up insolvent, which, as we know, is not the case these days. Certainly when, say, YouTube is giving over the lifespan of a contract 10 figures of money to the NFL for a product that the NFL doesn't produce. The NFL just gives the right to rebroadcast. Others produce, others rebroadcast, others stream it. And all they have to do is say, yeah, you can do it, and get 10 figures of money put into their pocket to be split up.
Yeah, and so he put, yeah, it's about 80%.
80%.
Yeah, he put, Jimmy Haslam put $185 million in escrow.
So I would say if I'm the players in the next collective bargaining agreement, if this is something they can do, I would say get rid of that rule.
Or take it down to 50%.
Or just say, you know what, you know, we're not going to require that large of amount of money,
right,
to be put into escrow. Okay. We think you're good for it.
Like buying a house, 20%.
Like, who's not good for it? The one of the two people that just put together a group that's putting up $6 billion for a team. You think the Walmart family's good for it? You think Russ is sweating whether the Waltons have put money in an escrow account for his guaranteed money?
Also, let's be honest. Getting rid of this rule would probably help out a few of these
teams.
That's
what I'm saying. Well, help out a few of these teams. It would help out, you know, cash flow.
Yeah.
And the players wouldn't have an ownership group saying, you know what, I'm not interested in a generationally talented quarterback who's popping free potentially at age 26 because I don't want to give all that guaranteed money because I don't want to slice off. What's 80% of $200 million, right? Less than obviously what the Haslams have put in there. They don't want to scratch that check. So the Players Association can say, yeah, you don't have to. Put it down to 30% of escrow, right? I don't know. They might find a common ground. Because as you say, some owners might be like, if Bidwell didn't have to put 80% of what Kyler Murray gets on this contract into escrow, do you think he'd prefer it?
Or two of the teams that are going to have to pay quarterback soon.
Yeah, you think Mike Brown and
Dean Spanos probably don't want to put $200 million aside all at once.
Probably. They might find some common ground, and some other teams will be more apt to sign someone like Lamar to an offer sheet, one would think. I would do that. But I'm just me. Just a guy sitting here in his button-up sweater.
Sun's out.
Ah. Thanks, Mike.
Mike, that just came out of nowhere.
I just saw the sun.
I'm making a point. Am I making a point? Sorry, Rich. Am I in the middle of making a point?
I'm sorry, Rich.
All of a sudden, he's like squirrel.
Well, you know, he is our weather guy. So,
yeah. I got to keep it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I've made my point. I've finished it anyway.
Good job.
Thanks. Am I wrong?
I liked where you're... No.
Yeah.
That's definitely something that probably should happen.
I never knew that.
That's crazy. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's a cash flow. That's what everybody keeps saying. This is about cash. Cash on hand. You know, you're going to take all this cash and put it aside. Man, I don't know how Lamar's going to finish this. I don't know how this is going to finish up. All I know is that the Ravens have the opportunity to match, and they have the opportunity to pay him $32 million and have him go out and play. You know, and if he's saying that weeks 13 through 18 had nothing to do with making sure that, you know, he wasn't putting life and limb on line for a team that wasn't willing to pay him what he thought he was willing to be paid. If it's not about that, then great. But I don't think he's going to sit out. That would be something else. Fun show today with Cody Rhodes. Fun show with Mark Strong. And also Jacoby Myers in studio. Is tomorrow the day we get Jordan Addison here in person? We get him here tomorrow? Potentially the top wide receiver on a draft board? We get him here in person?
It is tomorrow.
He's here in person.
He's here in person.
That's great.
That's going to be awesome. And Coach Beard's in studio tomorrow.
Coach Beard is in studio tomorrow.
We got Zava.
Let's go.
I started watching the latest season.
Yeah. Have you started watching the latest season of Ted Lasso?
I am. I'm up through number two. I got to watch three tonight.
I'm up. I'm totally caught up.
You're totally caught
all
up.
All three. We got Zava. That's all I'm going to say.
I have been told the episodes are longer this season.
They're twice as long.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's great.
You're getting like two full. I mean, it's the last season, but you're getting kind of two seasons in one.
And Nate the Great is getting lit up on Twitter.
Nate the Great's having a tough go. The first
I hate
few
Nate.
Episodes. Oh, wow.
How just, you know, the
what a heel turn.
Hey, a strong word.
Well, you know, well, look what he did.
So the hate that you have for the Nate character, is it akin to his dislike for Jim Boeheim?
Oh.
Where you loved somebody and then you thought you loved them and then that person overstayed their stay.
Well, I think he has
and then heel turned.
He has a closer like relationship with Boeheim than I just feel like Nate did Ted dirty.
I don't think he's got a close relationship
we
with Jim Boeheim at all.
Salmon.
Yeah, they had did salmon really? Together
yeah.
at lunch.
That's some like 2000 media day or something.
Yeah.
And how did he treat you talking about salmon?
Well, back in 2000 I loved Jim Boeheim.
Do you think he would remember the guy who talked about
Zero
salmon
chance.
To him? I don't know. I could remember on one hand if anybody came up to me and talked about salmon with me. I don't talk salmon too often. I don't like it. I think it's too fishy of a fish.
Oh, you don't like salmon?
No, I do not.
Oh, you're crazy.
No. Hot take. That's a
hot take.
How is that a hot take?
That's a hot take.
Why?
Sushi. Everyone eats sushi.
You don't like salmon?
I don't eat sushi.
Do you like salmon?
Oh, no. Everyone's like, you should have salmon. I'm like, tastes like fish.
I don't even know if I know
if you get some
now.
Properly prepared salmon, I was like you, man, salmon's good.
Well,
Salomon.
The Roku channel is loving this salmon talk going out the door.
Roku Joe, what up?
We're going upstream.
It's WrestleMania season, and the Podcast Heat Network has you covered.
Woo! Podcast Heat has shows featuring many of your favorite wrestlers and personalities leading up to the Showcase of the Immortals.
And talking about the results afterwards.
And now it's not just WrestleMania being a day, it's a week. I don't know if there's anything quite like it in another form of entertainment.
There's not.
Get into the WrestleMania spirit with the Podcast Heat Network.
Woo!
Wherever you listen.